And what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Conspiracy Fears and Mysteries. And I'm your host, Ralphie, man. And Ralphie, that's been gone for a minute, been gone for a while. Not gone, but, you know, just it's been kind of hard. It's been kind of hard getting, you know, I have a little YouTube channel also, but I also, you know, this is my main thing, it's the podcast. And, with, you know, a lot of moving pieces in life, so I can't exactly upload or record all the times that I really want to record, or, you know, things like that, because just life, you know what I'm saying? So I gotta kind of do it when I can, but I'm trying to find a way to do it. Right now I'm actually quarantined, believe it or not. I'm on quarantine, and so I got a chance to do a little recording. I'm going to try to record as much episodes as possible and then finally have a day when I actually record. It's hard to do it with the family in the house. I don't care what my wife says. It's hard. And she's like, oh, just do it at night. We say, no, for some reason, even when everybody's asleep at the house, it's still a problem. Like, I don't know. I still hear no. I don't know, when everybody's home, even if they're just like not making, quote unquote, not making noise, I still hear noise. It's still like, I don't know, some kind of an issue. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So let's go ahead and just keep going with this thing, man. So today we're not going to do on Conspiracy Fears and Mysteries, we're not going to do a true crime, actually. Let me do some actual mysteries and conspiracies, you know what I'm saying? Instead of true crime. You know, the word true crime isn't even on the title, but I've done everything but what's on the title. So I apologize for that, even though I've got a good little following that just loves that. But today we're going to talk about aliens. And some people are like, oh, alien. We're going to talk about aliens, seven ancient sites. So seven ancient sites that some people think were built by aliens. That some people believe were built by aliens. And this is something that I look up a lot. And I've been interested in this for years. I'm talking about, I'm talking about since I was a kid. When I was in New York. I was growing up in New York. And my mom used to leave me alone in the house. And I was probably the only kid watching Unsolved Mysteries. You know, my favorite episodes were the alien ones. Watching all those alien documentaries and, you know, anything with the paranormal or supernatural or aliens or conspiracies, I was watching it. And, of course, true crime. Just that kind of falls into that realm of it kind of, even though we know that true crime is, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We know that true crime is true crime and it's true and it happened or whatever. But it's still like, you know, like a, it still falls into that realm, you know what I mean? So, you know, it just falls into it. But anyway, let's go ahead. So I got some info here, some sites. This was published on October 26, 2017. As you know, I'm always going to say where I got it from. I'm going to quote it, because if I didn't write it, I'm not gonna say I wrote it, or I'm not gonna talk about it like if I just wrote it. But we're gonna talk into this article. We're gonna talk about this article as I read it, and it's about seven ancient sites some people think were built by aliens. And I got it from NationalGeographic.com. You can go check it out. An article by the same title, by Nadia Drake. Thank you, Nadia, for hooking us up. So, it has seven sites that, if you ever watch the show Ancient Aliens, you'll probably hear it being talked about a lot, or often actually, very, you know, a lot of times they will talk about these sites, and they'll just have different reasons why you think it was built. And if you ever actually visit these sites, and I haven't visited any of these sites here that are on this list. Well, I don't think I have. I know I've never visited the pyramids or anything like that, or Easter Island or anything, but I have visited sites that are not on this list, that, or when I was in Africa, and they were like, oh, this was built thousands of years ago, and this, that, and the third, and it raised the question to me, like, my God, how? Like, how? You know, how, why? Just so many questions, you know, left unanswered. So let's go down the list. So the first one is, and I hope I'm saying this way, saying this right, is Sacsayhuaman. 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 So outside the old Inca capital of Cusco, a fortress called Sacsayhuaman rests in the Peruvian Andes. And it's built from enormous stones that have been chiseled and stacked together like a jigsaw puzzle. And some say that Sacsayhuaman could be the work of an ancient civilization that had a little help from interstellar friends. The 1,000-year-old interlocking fortress walls are made of rocks that weigh as much as 360 tons each, and which were carried more than 20 miles from being lifted and fit into place with laser-like precision. How an ancient culture accomplished such a feat of engineering is a fun little problem to solve. Now, it turns out that the Inca were as adept at building houses and fortified complexes as they were at watching the sky and keeping calendars. In fact, Sacsayhuaman isn't the only example of this intricate masonry. Similar walls exist throughout the Inca Empire, including one in Cusco, where a 12-angle stone has been carefully wedged into place. More recently, archaeologists have uncovered traces of the rope and lever system the Inca used to transport stones from their quarries to their cities, a system that relied on strength and ingenuity rather than alien architects. Now, here's where I'm going to throw a wrench into everything, you know, and you can call me whatever you want, but I'm throwing a wrench into this. That last line I read where it says a system that relied on strength and ingenuity rather, I'm sorry, where's, yeah, probably the last paragraph that said, more recently, archaeologists have uncovered traces of the rope and lever system the Inca used to transport stones from the quarries to their cities, a system that relied on strength and ingenuity rather than alien architects. So when you deal with a publication like NationalGeographic.com, there's a multi-million, probably billion-dollar publication. They've been around for ages. And you know, and like the Smithsonian and those big, sponsor backed agencies or companies, whatever you may call them, you've gotta realize that they can be easily manipulated, and they are manipulated. I don't care what anybody says. If we find some kind of evidence, for example, that, you know, oh my God, they were giants, oh my God, they were, you know, this thing was built by something from out of this world, it is going to be manipulated to, you know, to be like, oh, well, it's not true, or oh yeah, look, they found some rope and lever, this is how they did it, oh no, they got this. Why? Because it will disrupt the fabric of our existence, as far as not existence, but our beliefs. And it'll interfere with the religion. Now, if you interfere with religion, what happens is that with religion, you can control people. With religion, this has a lot of control. So if you can control religion, you will control the people. And that's what happens. If we start finding too much evidence that, oh my God, you know, then people start kind of veering away from religion, then, you know, you're not going to be able to control people, because they're like, well, no, hold on, you know. Little by little, you lose control of the people. And if you lose control of the people, you lose all your power. The power is not in the money. It's in the control of the people, which money just happens to be a factor of it. So they say here they found a rope and lever system in Inca. I mean, it's only one little paragraph. Doesn't say anything else about it. I'm sure they did a whole thing of how they got these massive rocks, because you got to understand, you're talking about precision that today is hard to get, you know, to accomplish, to achieve, you know, the massive size of these rocks. We need machines. They did I remember one episode I was watching, they were talking about how I forgot the name of that stone in Egypt that they found, that big, it's like a big tower stone. I forgot the name of it. But anyway, that stone was moved, right? Somewhere, and it said they would need what is it, 30 something of the big crane, big construction trucks that lift heavy, you know, that pick up the heavy stones or whatever it is we use, you know, for construction. They would need like 30 or 40 of them just to pick that up. Now you're talking about these stones, you're talking about people that they didn't have trucks, and if they did, where would they get those trucks? You know what I mean? Either way, it's gonna be an issue. It's gonna be a question that we're gonna ask, right? But they like to hide it. They like to throw water on it, you know, as to, oh, no, it's just you know, it wasn't aliens. We found it was just they used ropes and a pulley to bring these, you know, megaton rocks all the way, you know, over here, whatever. All right, so anyway, the next one is the Nazca Lines. So the Nazca Lines, on a high and dry plateau, some 200 miles southeast, southeast of Lima, Peru, also, more than 800 long straight white lines are etched into the Peruvian desert, seemingly at random. Joining there are 300 geometric shapes and 70 figures of animals, including a spider, a monkey, and a hummingbird. The longest of the lines run straight as an arrow for miles, like a straight as line for miles, okay? And we all know the way to get, like, one of the ways in when you're constructing or you're building something, even if you're not in construction, if you're just building something, maybe you're putting up a what do you call it, a picture frame or something. Sometimes we use levels, or we use like laser lights, okay, to get a really straight accurate line, at the most accurate we can get. So anyway, the biggest shapes stretch nearly 1,200 feet across and are best viewed from the air. These are best you can these if you're just looking at the lines when you're sitting there, they just look like lines and things. But if you're on an airplane or a helicopter and you're looking down, then you can see what is actually being made from this. Now, scientists suspect that Nazca drawings are as many as 2 millennia old, and because of their age, size, visibility, and from above, and mysterious nature, the lines are often cited as one of the best examples of alien handiwork on Earth. Otherwise, how would an ancient culture have been able to make such huge designs in the desert without being able to fly? And why? Well, it turns out it's rather easy to understand the how. Here we go. Called geoglyphs. These enigmatic designs are made by removing the top rust-colored layer of rocks and exposing the brighter white sand underneath. Okay, that's easy. The why is a bit tougher to comprehend. First studied in the early 1900s, the designs were initially suspected to be aligned with constellations or solstices. But more recent work suggests that the Nazca lines point to ceremonial or ritual sites related to water and fertility. And in addition to being visible from the air, the shapes can be seen from surrounding foothills. All right, so it says you can see the sites from foothills, or, you know, like, and a foothill is just easy. It's just a hill. That's all it is. It's a hill that you can walk up, that you can walk up. To be honest with you, when you look at them, okay, the picture they have here, they have a plane, and it's like whoever took the picture took it from a plane above that plane. So there's an airplane flying, and you see the Nazca lines there, and the one that they show is the one of the spider. It looks like the spider, because it's like some kind of black widow, you know, with the big booties and stuff. So it has a spider there, and you know, and it's huge. Why would you make that unless you want to show something to somebody up there? Now, we all know that ancient civilizations believe were big into their gods, and, you know, all that stuff. So that's part of the reason I believe that they had it. I think they were trying to show the gods. So they look, this is, you know, this is what we have. This is what, you know, we have these animals, we have this, depending on where what they were worshiping. These people just didn't start worshiping out of nowhere. They didn't just say, "Hey, you know what? Let's go worship this god. This is the way he looks like, and we're gonna make little drawings for him or whatever." They saw something that made them do this. You know what I mean? So that in itself is something that you can question. That it'd be question. I question everything. Because like my first podcast was called RNJ Question Everything, and that was years ago, about 5 6 years ago. And I started that. That's when I started podcasting, and that was with one of my buddies. But anyway, now we go to one of the ones that are mostly talked about. The ones that like these are the poster children for questioning ancient architects. You could say ancient alien architects. Is the Egyptian pyramids, of course, the pyramids of Giza in Cairo. So, just outside of Cairo in Giza, the most famous of Egypt's pyramids rise from the desert. Built more than 4,500 years ago, the pyramids of Giza are monumental tombs where ancient queens and pharaohs were buried. But how exactly did the Egyptians build these things? The Great Pyramids is made of millions of precisely hen. I'm sorry, hewn, HEWN stones, weighing at least 2 tons each. Even with today's cranes and other construction equipment, building a pyramid as big as that of Pharaoh Khufu, that was the first one, would be a formidable challenge. And then there's the astronomical configuration of the pyramids, which is said to align with the stars of Orion's belt. As well, alien theorists often point to the fact that these three pyramids are in way better shape than other built centuries later. And never mind the amount of work that has gone into preserving them over the past several centuries. They throw that in there for the normal people who just to throw never mind the amount of work that has gone into preserving them over the past several centuries. Yes, there has been a lot in the amount of work, but they like to throw that in there just to throw you away from the alien theory, because everybody likes to throw that conspiracy word around whenever they want to make somebody look crazy. They throw the word conspiracy. You know, most of the time, people who throw the word conspiracy around, like, you know, as far as like to discredit someone else, is normally the person that's wrong. Normally, the person who says, "Oh, that's a conspiracy theorist," is the person who's actually crazy, the person who's actually wrong. You know what I mean? It's the person who does the same thing over and over, you know. The same action or the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. But it's, you know, well, that's insanity. But yeah, they're insane and all that. Okay. Anyway, so are Egypt's pyramids artifacts of aliens? Not exactly. Of course, National Geographic. It's true that scientists aren't quite sure how the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids, and especially how they did it so quickly, but there's ample evidence that these tombs are the work of thousands of earthly hands. That's a good rebuttal. Well, we don't know, but there's a lot of evidence that says it was humans, but we just don't know how they did it. It doesn't matter. Listen, with the ancient astronaut theory, or the ancient alien theory, or the alien theory, or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter if the aliens stood there as managers with a clipboard going, "Hey, you, all right, have those 10 guys pick up that and bring it over." The fact is that they were there. The fact is that they were helped. It doesn't matter if they came and dropped off some blueprints. It doesn't matter if they came and used their own technology to lift up the rocks and whatever. The fact is that there was some intervention. And I hate these fucking articles and people that just like refuse to even look into that, just be like, "Oh, no." They just want to rebut. Everything is human. Everything's human. Everything is human. Like, we're the only things. We're, you know, I mean, it's you know the ego you have to have to believe you're the only thing in existence. Like, you are the almighty. I mean, that's the way I take it. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. So anyway, the next one is Stonehenge. Stonehenge. So Stonehenge is in, I believe it's in France. I've never been to Stonehenge, and that's one of the places I do want to go. I do want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to everything. So a huge circle of stones, some weighing as much as 50 tons, sits on the English countryside outside of Salisbury. known as Stonehenge. The Neolithic monument inspired Swiss author Erich von Däniken, and you can see him on Ancient Aliens. He's in every other episode, if not every episode, to suggest it was a model of the solar system that was functioned as an alien landing pad. After all, how else would these massive stones have ended up hundreds of miles from their home quarry? No one knows what exactly the meaning of Stonehenge is, but as with all the other sites in the collection, the explanation is not aliens. Instead, scientists have demonstrated it's actually possible to build such a thing using technologies that would have been around 5,000 years ago when the earlier structures at the site were built. And now it appears as though the stones are aligned with solstices and eclipses, suggesting the Stonehenge builders were at least keeping an eye on the heavens, even if they didn't come from above. Again, they're giving us the big middle finger with National Geographic because it's the big fuck you, you know. The ancient alien theory just to me makes a lot of sense. Like the way they paint it. If you look at Stonehenge, right? And I haven't been there, but you've touched a rock, a very heavy boulder, maybe rock, and you can't even fathom the idea of you moving that. Obviously, there's some rocks, you know, depending on the weight and size and all that, that can't be moved if you get enough hands on it. But now you're talking about these rocks that weigh tons. And this is years and years and years ago, thousands of years ago, okay, before any of the technology that we have now. You imagine with the technology now, okay, let's try to get a truck, a crane or something, lift this heavy-ass thing, and it has to be built for that. You know, we got to make sure we got it right, built this crane or whatever. They haven't found, I don't know where they're saying that, oh, there's evidence that it was built by hands or whatever. I remember hearing, and I'm always looking into this shit, that they found any tools or any old broken cranes or whatever that they use. Because these stones aren't anywhere around the area where Stonehenge is. These stones came from somewhere. So don't tell me they put them on a buggy, on a wooden horse, on a carriage or something. Even if the carriage is made out of steel, I don't believe it. What horse is pulling that thing? But anyway, or if they're using a mastodon or something to pull it, I still don't believe that, because you're talking about pulling it very, very long distances to get it over here, just to get it into that configuration where it's at, around like this. Now, I'm not saying that it was, you know, used as a landing pad, but it was something. This is an intelligent design. This isn't something that just happened. This isn't something that the rocks were just there. Obviously, yes, it was put there. It was put there in a certain way for a certain reason. But I don't think that they did it by themselves. I don't think that this is something that humans were just like, yo, let's put this around because I know that this constellation. How did they know what the solar system looks like? How did they know that, oh, there's this planet over here? There's a planet here and it's going around the sun and blah, blah, blah. How did they know that? You know what I mean? This is before Copernicus and all that stuff. So, and don't even let me get into that. But how'd they know that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Okay, the next one is Teotihuacan. Teotihuacan, meaning the city of the gods, is a sprawling ancient city in Mexico that's best known for its pyramidal temples and astronomical alignments. More than 2,000 years ago, Teotihuacan age, size, and complexity can make it seem otherworldly, but it's very much the work of humans. National Geographic, again, gave you the big dildo. So, scientists suspect that over centuries, a mix of cultures, including Maya, Zapotec, and Mixtec, built a city that could house more than 100,000 people with its murals, tools, transportation systems, and evidence of advanced agricultural practices. Teotihuacan is often considered much more technologically developed than should have been possible in pre-Aztec Mexico. By far the most well-known of Teotihuacan's buildings is the massive Pyramid of the Sun, one of the largest sun constructions in the Western Hemisphere. The pyramid's curious alignment is believed to be based on calendrical cycles. Again, they gave you the big salami when it comes to the alien theory. Eh, fuck you, it's no aliens. This was just humans. It's hard to do it now, but these humans did it before, and then we forgot about it after they died, and then we came back and did it again, and we tried, and we just built the buildings different, blah, 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 blah. It just sounds ridiculous to me. I don't know, and I know you're like, oh, you're crazy. Fuck it. Because it makes more sense that they had help. It just makes more sense that they were helped, that they were taught this. They didn't just learn this. They didn't just walking around one day and they just fucking learned. There was something that was taught to them, This is very advanced building. If you look at it, right? If you go on the website or if you Google Teotihuacan and you look at these structures, these are advanced. Like, think about you being, thousands and thousands of years ago, before you ever flew on a plane. You didn't have cell phones, obviously. You didn't have computers. You didn't have Google. None of that shit. You didn't have anything that we have now. And you're talking about building a structure like this. That's insane. Insane. Easter Island. That's another one that is very famous. The enigma surrounding the Moai, Easter Island's fleet of large stone figures, pretty much follow the same narrative as the other sites described here. And how in the world did the Rapa Nui make these figures more than 1,000 years ago? And how did the Moai end up on Easter Island? Carved from stone, the nearly 900 human figures are sprinkled along the flanks of the island's extinct volcanoes. The figures average 13 feet tall and weigh 14 tons and appear to have been chiseled from the soft volcanic tuff found on the Rano Raruku quarry. There, more than 400 statues are still in various states of construction, with some completed figures awaiting transportation to their intended resting place. The reasons for carving the Moai are mysterious, though they were likely sculpted for religious and ritual reasons. It's also not exactly clear what happened to the stone crafting Rapa Nui, but a leading theory suggests that civilization succumbed to an environmental disaster of their own making, which is something that probably could have been prevented had ancient aliens bestowed their infinite wisdom upon the culture. Again, another fuck you, because you gotta look at it this way, okay? Let's talk about this last line. It says, how did they build it? We want to know that. It was built by the rocks from the volcano, which is soft in the beginning, especially if it's warm. If it's still warm, it's easy to sculpt, okay? But these are big sculptures, okay? And it says that these people, what happened to the people? Where are they? They use these rocks or these sculptures to worship or to represent their gods. And obviously, this is something they seen. They didn't just imagine that their god looked like this. This is something they saw. Okay, this is what he looks like. We're going to make him look like this. Because this is what he looks like. This is what we've seen, whatever, blah, 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 right? And so on and so forth, and then that's where it goes. Now, it says that they died, a theory says that they succumbed to environmental disaster of their own making, which is something that probably could have been prevented if ancient aliens bestowed their infinite wisdom. Well, you got to understand, you were talking about advanced species, an ancient alien, right? So an ancient alien obviously is advanced. He has the species obviously have the technology to travel. So they're not stupid. I mean, if they can build a craft to travel through air or space and time and land and this and that, then obviously, and just like us, when we're National Geographic, when you're out there with your fucking cameras and you see a fucking animal getting mauled by a fucking lion and you don't intervene, that's probably the same thing that they fucking did over here. You know what I'm saying? It's probably the same thing. They're like, okay, we're gonna show them this, we're gonna help them out, just like we do with the animals. Okay, we're National Geographic. How many episodes haven't we seen in National Geographic where you're watching? I saw one where a lion was hunting like a gazelle or something, and a lioness, and she got kicked in the mouth by the gazelle, and her jaw was just hanging off. Now, National Geographic could have sent in some fucking, I'm sure they got the money for some high-end fucking vets to go in and do some surgery and help that lion. But no, they were like, well, the lion is now going to die. Yeah, motherfucker, because you're not interfering with nature, with their nature. You know what I'm saying? You help them out as much as you can with certain things like we do with our animals, but you're not interfering completely, where you're just like, oh well, we're just gonna interfere every time something happens. No, don't eat that gazelle. No, don't do it. And actually, if we knew that there was 10 gazelles left, we probably will interfere. You know what I'm saying? So for some reason, the ancient aliens were out there, the aliens were out there, on Easter Island saying, hey, there's a natural disaster gonna happen. Okay, we just gotta let these guys leave. These guys disappear. They gotta fend for themselves. We're not gonna interfere. Whatever. God knows there's more that goes into it. Maybe they were doing some genetic modifications on humans, trying to perfect the humans or whatever. And they were like, ah, these aren't the ones we want. Just let them die. Blah blah blah. We do this shit all the time. So who is to say that some ancient aliens that are more advanced than us didn't do the same thing? So it's like, oh, well, they're so smart. Why didn't they help us? Bitch, you do that shit with animals all the time. You let them die. I see it on National Geographic. I was a kid watching, and I'm so pissed. I'm like, why aren't you helping them? Oh my God, poor animal. Oh, we have to let nature take its course. Yeah, go fuck yourself too. Anyway, the face on Mars. So the face on Mars. On Mars is another one. That's a famous one. I remember when that one came out. I think I was, how old was I? This was, it says NASA's Viking 1 orbiter took this photograph of Mars in 1976. Shadows in the crack in the rock formation create an illusion of a human face. And yeah, this one, even when I first saw it, when I was a kid, this was back in, I think it was in the 90s when I first saw it. I was like 13, 14, maybe 12. I don't remember. I was really young when I first saw this one. I saw it on I think it was a National Geographic magazine, a cover. I think it was on the cover of National Geographic. When I first saw it and I read about it, and then I saw it on a documentary a couple, maybe a year or two later, blah, blah, blah. I thought the same. I said, well, you gotta be careful when it comes to just calling this that what it is. But anyway, let's read what this says. It says if Elon Musk has his way, humans will be capable of visiting the face on Mars sometime this century. Spotted by the Viking 1 orbiter in 1976, the so-called face is nearly 2 miles long and is in a region called Cydonia, which what is it? Let me see. So-called face, 2 miles long, which separates the smooth plains of the Martian North from the more cratered terrain in the south. At the time, scientists dismissed the face as shadow play, but over the decades, it has become a favorite among those who suspect aliens were with a penchant for building things have been visiting the solar system. A penchant for building things. You see all those subliminal little fuck yous that they throw, these little jokes. Yeah, these aliens with a penchant for building things. Yes, they're building things. If they're visiting other places and they need, just like we do, if we go somewhere, we're going to build a home base. We're going to when construction workers When you go to a construction site, you're gonna see a little trailer that is where the foreman or the construction manager has all the paperwork, blueprints, and that's where he basically, for the life of the construction of whatever work they're doing, that's their base. So yeah, yes, they have a penchant for building things. Yes, they build things. They build it there for whatever reason they build it, and boom. And then they don't need it anymore, so they leave. Now, I'm not saying that's what this is, but that's a fuck you to your fuck you, okay? So in 2001, NASA's Mars Global Surveyor took another good look at the face using a much higher resolution camera and saw no face. Turns out that what had happened, what had appeared to be a face, is just another boring old Martian mess up, kind of like the landforms that litter the US Southwest. But that doesn't mean it wouldn't be fun to visit. Idiots, I swear. Now, with this one, I do gotta say, let's be careful. Because, look, NASA, the government, NASA, these big corporations, big things, they always contradict themselves. And the thing is, people like me that are, they call crazy conspiracy theorists, are the ones that always catch them in their fucking lies. But when we say something, then, that's when everybody's like, "Oh, you crazy. We learned that this what NASA said, so it has to be true." Listen. If NASA could say we all gotta, NASA, these big corporations could say, "Hey, we all gotta sit on a big fucking spiky dildo for some reason," and most people will fucking consider it, and a lot will do it. Okay? It's the conspiracy theorists are gonna be like, "Wait a minute, fuck you, no. We're not doing that. This is crazy." Look, with the face on Mars, okay, the face of Mars. Let me play devil's advocate after I just insulted the shit out of him. With the face on Mars, I kind of agree with the whole, shadows and things like that, because I take pictures, I do photography, just on my own, not anything professional, but and I do videography. I went to school for videography and all that stuff. Depending on the angle of the camera, the angle of the lighting, the angle of this and that, yeah, naturally you will get a different illusion, as you say. It's the same thing. It's kind of the same. And also, you got to take into consideration when you get that illusion, then you have that effect that you get when you look at a cloud where, oh, I see a dog and a bone, or I see a bird, or I see this and that. It's the same thing here. This one just happened to look like a human face. You had a shadow here where I'm looking at it right now, where the mouth is, where you see, because on the picture it's like half a face, not a whole face. So you got half the mouth, then you have these little black blotches all over the place, because I guess this picture, you got to understand, this picture is probably super enhanced. I don't know what camera exactly we're using. This is in the 70s, so shit, they're still having trouble. And I'm gonna talk about something with cameras in a minute. So, you got all these black, probably cold spots, or the black, well, the spots that didn't have light, that they couldn't get lighting to. It's a whole science that goes into the picture shit. And then you have the eyes is probably the biggest thing that, they're like, "Oh, look at the eyes, and it has a nose, and it has a mouth, and then it has," no, well, if you look around on the picture, at the whole picture, not just the face, look everywhere. You can see the black, big black spots that would take place of that look just like the black spot where the eye is. Then you can see the little nose hole, because a lot of people are, "Oh, that look, that's a nose hole." And then you see the line there. That's obviously, it's a shadow. You can see in the other rocks, there's shadows. You know what I'm saying? So this one is kind of like, this one, I'm gonna give it to them. This one, I'm gonna give this to you. I'm gonna give this to you, National Geographic and NASA and all the other bullshitters out there. I'm gonna give it to you. You people in like the long trench, in those long lab coats that we tend to believe because you have a long lab coat and you have a piece of paper in the back that says you went somewhere, but I can't verify it. Even though they can doctor any document or whatever, hey, we'll just call him a doctor. Yeah, we'll call him a scientist. We'll call him somebody. But anyway, And I'm not saying I don't believe in science. I'm just saying, you know, there's certain things that I know that is manipulated. We've seen it. We know it happens. We just tend to kind of deal with it. Hey, we got our own lives to worry about. Fuck it. If they're lying to us, they're lying to us, as long as they don't kill me, which they are. But so anyway, that right there, no, I don't know. So now check this out. So that was the last one. But before I leave you, I'm gonna leave you with this. Like the just yesterday, okay, I was watching one of the episodes of Ancient Aliens, right? And they were talking about, oh, in 2016, you know, Lockheed and NASA are together and they're working on blah blah blah, going back to the moon, da 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 da. And they were and one of the guys that was talking, that, you know, on the show, it was in, I think it was a former astronaut from Apollo 7, can't remember his name. He says, oh, well, you know, we have to go back because it's, you know, it's not the same being there. You know, when you take a picture, he's like, we don't have the camera, that we don't have the technology as far as the cameras to be able to take a picture of Mars, right? You know, it's 230 or 220, you know, give or take 1,000 miles away. We can't take a picture of Mars. I mean, I'm sorry, not of Mars, of the moon, of the moon, of the moon, not Mars. We don't have the technology to take a, you know, take a picture of the moon or whatever to be able to, you know, to say, oh, this is on the moon, this is not on the moon, whatever, whatever. So we have to actually get a man up there to do it. Now, think about that for a minute. He's saying we don't have the capability of taking a picture or whatever, but you have the Hubble telescope that's looking at fucking solar systems miles away. I mean, when I say miles away, it's, that's not even, that doesn't justify how far it is at all. Okay? It's taking pictures of shit that is fucking, that you can't even imagine it right now. Okay? It's taking, it's, we have that supposedly, right? I mean, we could see the moon with the naked eye. You mean, you know, we're looking at, supposedly there's a rover on Mars taking pictures, you know, and video and sending HD video, right? I see that shit on TikTok all the time. There's like a, NASA has their own little TikTok and they always put little things of Mars, which looks like Arizona to me, but look, they always put these little things of Mars on there. Oh, we're on Mars. Look at this. Look, we're on Mars. Right? But we can't take a video or something of the moon that is too, so we can put a rover on Mars, right? But we can't put one on the moon. We could put a rover on Mars, think about that, but we can't put one on the moon. That's 200 something thousand miles away, and Mars is way more than that, right? So we got something to Mars, but we can't put a rover on the moon to get some video and shit, right? And probably get it back. I mean, it's closer. You could put a rover on there and actually probably maybe even get it, I don't know, maybe get a signal, maybe get it back. You can't do that. Think about that for a minute, okay? And I know you, oh well, no, the scientist said, I, yeah, okay. Well, if you know, and this is not against anybody who's listening, because if you're listening to this, obviously you have some kind of open mind. You have something in your head that tells you, eh, you're doubting something and you want to hear about it. Or you just want to hear somebody who they say will sound crazy. Because every time you talk about shit like this, they always say you're crazy. Oh, this guy's crazy. He's nuts. Fuck it. He's nuts. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, man, that's all we got for the show today, man. For the podcast today, I talked a lot of shit. And I will be coming back. I'm going to post this one on Monday, March 1st. But I normally post Fridays. Fridays. Friday mornings at 7 is when the podcast goes up, because I do it Thursday nights. All right? And I will be talking more cryptid stuff, alien stuff every once in a while. I still do a, whatchamacallit, a true crime. Because I know you guys love murder for some reason. You guys are creepy as hell. All right? But anyway, that's all I got, man. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow me on social media. But I say that, but I am not even on social media like that anymore, man. I'm not on social media like that anymore. I do have c.f.mysteries Instagram if you want to reach me. If you want to reach me, I'm right there. c.f.mysteries Instagram. So go catch me there. And you can inbox me, follow me, inbox me. You could tell me, hey, man, hey, you should look this up. I'll look it up, you know, investigate it, talk about it. You know what I'm saying? And I will see you on the next smoke.